John.
Just scamper in.
Scamper? Scamper? He sounds like a rabbit. Scamper.
Scamper. Okay. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
Nice cup of coffee, John. I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to episode 17, can you believe it, of wow. Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This episode is entitled Fear of Commitment.
Or Fear of the Director if you don't commit.
If you there don't you go. Commit.
We finally got that intro right. You didn't hear the intro that we did before this intro. So
thank
here
heavens
it goes.
You didn't.
This topic it was one that was suggested by our dear friend Sandy, and it's a very good topic because one of the things that community theater hasn't got to hold over the heads of its participants is a paycheck, correct?
That's right.
Or and, flunking them.
Or
if they're
flunking
in,
them if they're in school or anything like that. It's very difficult to remove people and or hold them to a commitment with dollars. But how do you hold people to a commitment in a community theater?
You know, it's, I would like to know. It's very hard. You know, you up front, we ask everybody at the auditions, what are your conflicts over the next 6 to 10 weeks.
Crazy trying to figure
then
out
you go
a schedule.
Crazy
that
trying
will
to figure out a schedule.
People.
Exactly, Marcia. And then the next thing you know, people are coming to you. Because we work with all different age ranges of people. You have kids coming to you saying, "Oh, I forgot, I have graduation ceremony on opening night."
Yeah.
But I could still be in the show, right?
Yeah, my favorite is I'm going to be on vacation for 3 days during dress week.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You won't need me, will you? I know my part. That's the thing that gets me. I know my part. Forget the other 20 people that they're working with.
Yeah. Between you and me, I know what I'm doing.
I don't have to come in until the last 2 weeks. No, I mean, that's just one form of commitment throughout the entire process. But that commitment of I want to do a show. I want to work on this particular show. I'm going to go audition, and I'm going to bring my conflicts. At that point, that is your commitment.
Absolutely.
And if you are cast in a show, you should honor what is there. So unless something desperate comes up, I mean, and that happens all the time, that somebody maybe has someone pass away in their family, or the work does call you away, and it's unexpected, and it wasn't something you were prepared for, but you have to go away for a week because that's required of your work, and work always comes first because we don't offer a paycheck.
Right.
But for the most part, people who just want to go to Cedar Point for the day,
forget it.
You know, and that wasn't on their initial conflict. I'm sorry, you should have scheduled it back then. But
yeah.
But we seem to be getting more and more of these conflicts and people not willing to commit to the entire process once they're there.
By the way, for those of you who don't live in the Midwest, Cedar Point is like this really fabulous amusement park near Cleveland.
It has 700 roller coasters.
Like, and if anybody wants to, I almost don't blame people if they get a chance to go to Cedar Point. But the play is the thing.
Say.
The play comes first.
And just check out, because it's on the Travel Channel, so you've seen the roller coasters on the Travel Channel.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's got like 5 of the top 10 roller coasters in the country.
Are we talking about roller coasters?
Yeah, we are. I guess we are right now.
You're committed to roller coasters,
I'm committed.
Aren't you, David?
I'm just committed.
Yeah.
I'm
well, the point committed. I was going to make is that it really is not, no. There's no difference if you're doing a huge musical the way we do every summer, or if you're doing a very small cast show, say with 5 or 6 people, because if you have one of the 6 who periodically and regularly does not show up, it takes away from the whole thing. It hangs everybody up.
It does.
And so you can't think, well, you know, it's only one part and I'm only, you know, in 2 scenes. Too bad. It doesn't matter. John's right. Once you bring your schedule in and you say you would like to participate in this production, whether it's crew or on stage or whatever, that is your commitment. And I think everybody ought to look that word up again, because it means you are committed to following through until the very final curtain, and even beyond if you have to work on strike. So it's bad for everyone. It's bad for the director. It gives them terrible nightmares when they think of half the cast not showing up. It makes the rest of the company very angry when they are there ready to work and they're held up because periodically it seems to be the same few people don't show up all the time. And what it would be for me if I found that was happening is I would not ever cast those people again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they tend to weed themselves out eventually.
They do. But eventually, is the how many shows you have to go through when they don't come to rehearsal, or they're periodically at least a half an hour late, and that holds everybody up. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know the answer except saying you have to look at going in and signing that audition notice as your commitment if you are cast or if you are asked to work backstage.
I think, and that's the idea of commitment, something that you just brought up also, is that this, you commit not only to the rehearsal schedule, but the times that the rehearsals are to commence. Yeah. And, you know, if people showing up at a half an hour after without calling even, just because, I got busy eating dinner and I didn't feel like coming out right away or whatever. It doesn't cut it. You have 10 other people or 12 other people or 3 other people, maybe just the director that night because you were going to work one-on-one, but you chose not to come there that night on time. And it just creates complete problems with the scheduling and with the other people that are surrounding you.
Yeah,
because they are there on time. And
they're all sitting around waiting for you to get there. And right. In this day and age of cell phones, there's even if you're tied up in traffic, which can be unexpected, there's no excuse for not calling and saying, hey, I'm here, and it's going to take me at least 20 minutes to get there. So if you can work around me, please do, but I will be there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just sitting there going, are they coming? Are they not coming? And the assistant director's running out and making all kinds of phone calls to try and track these people down. And it really is a very unfortunate and unhealthy situation.
Well, you commit to different it reminded me of one call we got one night. Was I think when I was directing Sherlock Holmes, I think it was, and one of the actors called, and he'd hit a deer, and his truck was rolling over, but he called.
He called. Commitment.
That's commitment.
That was commitment.
Exactly.
So that was pretty good. There's different levels of commitment, too. I mean, different stages of commitment. You commit to, knowing the lines at a certain point.
Which, is important.
Hopefully.
Which we have, and some people have a hard time memorizing and things like that, but... And may take a little longer, but at least that's the goal, and people try to commit to it. What drives me nuts is people who show up and just don't have any of it. Or in one case, I had an actor who thought that getting off book meant that he could carry around index cards. Then
that's very clever.
I thought
finally, never thought of that.
and I kind of like let it go because he was having so much trouble. But then I thought, being off book does not mean on card now. It just doesn't mean that. So, but the point is that it did. It put us behind in the sense that if you're not off book when you're supposed to be, then the other actors really don't know what your performance is going to be like, ultimately.
Right.
I mean, they have a vague idea, but they, ultimately, until the book's out of the hand and the cards, there's no real performance development.
And it develops a rhythm once you get the lines down. And listen, everyone has a terrible time first day off book. I mean, it's like you've never seen the script before. But you have to experience that and go through that and be committed to having to have a line thrown to you every paragraph or every other line if necessary. That's the only way you get to fix them firmly in your head.
Right.
And then you can start developing the rhythm that will eventually be used throughout the show.
And I think, as we're talking about lines here and the memorizing commitment, that date when things are to be memorized, and we've talked about this in the past, the fact that every time, if you're a lead or if you're an experienced actor, not even in a lead, but there are a lot of inexperienced people that are looking at you as an example. Mm-hmm. And if you walk into a rehearsal for memorization night and you're not memorized, and it looks like you haven't even spent time memorizing. What is that image that you're setting for those people? What kind of I can't think of the word. I guess I want, but what kind of a responsibility or what kind of what am I trying to say? You're not setting a good example.
Yeah.
And people are looking to you to set a good example, And we rely on that. And so not being committed in that moment, that can trickle down, you know, these trickle down theories that we have, but that could trickle down easily to a new person who says, well, you know, it's not that important for me to be memorized right on memorization day. And so that your lack of commitment now has created a lack of commitment for somebody else that could last a lifetime.
Right.
You never know.
Right. And we forget that, you know, community theater, I always feel like, is an educational process for so many of the participants. And it can also be a de-educational process.
It can be.
If you're giving the wrong example or a miseducation.
Yeah.
Misinformational.
Well, I don't know. I just think, you know, commitment is something that spills over into your whole life. And it should be a part of participating in any community theater production or any production anywhere, but especially with community theater, because as Dave said at the beginning, you can't get fired and you can't get flunked. So you're there because you want to be there and you want to do the best performance or create the best scene changes that you possibly can. And the only way you can do that is by committing to the entire process. That means from the first read through on through.
And I think it means a couple of other, at least one other thing, which means coming, well, when you come to rehearsal, you come committed to that rehearsal as well. And sometimes people are there on time, but they're not there.
They're not
mentally
there
at all. Yeah. You know, and I often say this is a playground. This is where we play.
Right.
And we have a good time. Leave everything else on the street when you walk in. You know, we can be there as friends and as a kind of a second family to listen to anything that you might have problems with in your life. That can happen before rehearsal if you get there early enough, or after rehearsal when we all go to the bar to have a drink on that first night of when we're off book and everybody is freaked out. We all go to get a drink or something and relax and just say, hey, it's out of the way, and now what's happening in your life.
Or a soda.
Uh-huh. But when you walk into the theater, you need to be committed to the rehearsal that evening. And sometimes when people aren't committed, that can throw an entire rehearsal off as well. Leave it on the street. That's part of the
absolutely.
Commitment.
Yeah. I mean, you get too much personal life that gets dragged into the context of the show itself gets a little... It wears other people out, frankly.
It can.
It's just like, oh, my God, do we have to deal with this again?
Yeah.
You know, I came here to... have fun. You know, I came here to work on something. I think there's another aspect of the commitment that is important, and that is you're committed to the play, okay? But that also means that you have to be willing to be, okay, you make a commitment for a certain number of rehearsals, and you've got your conflicts, and you've got, you know, that's your hard and fast contract, I guess. But then you also have to be willing to be flexible. You have to be willing to say, yeah, you know what, I could come in an extra Thursday if it's going to help two other actors, you know, work through a scene and develop something, okay? So it's, you know, even the nights that you're not committed to be there, it doesn't mean, it's not a hard and fast rule, but you have to be committed to at least have some flexibility that you'll put in a little extra effort here if you have to. And
you know, we're talking, I think it's interesting because I think all three of us maybe came at this initially as performers and not directors.
Yeah, right.
But we have to remember that the actors are also asking for that same commitment from the director and
right.
the directing staff as well.
That's correct.
That when a director comes to the rehearsal, they're prepared. Their blocking is ready. That they've read through the scenes and know what's going to be going on that evening. We ask that the music directors come and they're prepared, that they've played through their music and they know what they're doing. We ask the vocal directors to come prepared, that they've gone through the numbers that are going to be performed that evening at rehearsal and that they know what is needed to be done and that they've sat down and maybe made notes mm-hmm. so that they can correct the things that they've heard going wrong. And so not only should we be talking about the commitment that
right.
we ask of the performers, but that directing staff, those choreographers and directors and vocal directors, our stage managements, everybody, that commitment to the process, it's so important
yeah.
because one lack of commitment can make the whole thing falter.
Well, and it goes for the backstage
right.
as well. I mean, if you have a certain day when costumes are supposed to be ready, they should be ready
exactly.
because a lot of the time you're not working in clothing that you're used to being in. And so you have to get used to full skirts or, you know, waistcoats and how do you move in them. That has to be done on time. Also with props.
Mm-hmm.
You have certain things that you have to handle during the production. And right, when you start rehearsals, it's you have substitute ones. But there comes a point where the props committee is committed to bringing in the real thing.
Right.
And they have to be there, or, you know, you may get a cup you've never seen before and are not able to handle really well. Well, that sounds silly, but a little teacup is much more difficult to handle than a great big coffee mug, which you may be using as a substitute prop.
Or you run into things like with weapons, especially guns and things like that.
Yep.
You've been playing with a, you know, starter pistol, and then suddenly somebody brings in the real thing with blanks in it, and the young female murderess can't pull the trigger, you know.
I've seen that happen.
We've seen that happen.
Oh, or they pull the trigger and they've been using a little cap gun up to that point, and they pull a trigger, and now everybody's deaf because they didn't think about the
That's
fact.
That's right.
That,
yeah. Or we grab the wrong one, and the actor on stage has to make his own sound effect.
That was so sad that night. And it wasn't me, folks. It wasn't me.
No.
Bang.
It was our best. It was one of our better performances, as a matter of fact. Oh, God.
Well, everybody was thinking anyway.
They were all committed, though. He walked out on that stage that night, and he was committed to saying bang if he had to.
He was committed to dying if necessary.
Yeah,
That's right.
It takes that kind of commitment.
That's right. And, oh, God. Well, that's a story for another episode, folks. Yeah. We're out of time for this episode of Theater Geeks. Please remember to stop by www.theatergeeks.com. Check out our store and buy yourself a hat, just like our winner of the contest, Jim Bain, got last episode.
I saw the hat. It's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool hat.
And it fit his head. Thanks, Jim.
Fits his head. That's good. And buy yourself a hat. Buy yourself a T-shirt. Buy yourself a mug. Get your Theater Geeks gear. And remember, come back in 2 weeks for another great episode of Theater Geeks. I am Dave Dufour.
I am going to be committed tomorrow, John Schaup.
And I am Marcia Fulmer. And we definitely are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.